Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. Men's Tea Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway, now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick, and Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. I have a question for you. I was going to talk some about 0-2 teams in the league, but I might want to pivot just a little bit. Power rank the power rankings, and does last night make you feel any better, or does this weekend make you feel any better? And the reason why I brought that up is I know the Cowboys still got crushed, but you look at some of the results from across the NFL, it did feel like a fairly shocking weekend. I know Jerry was on with Sean and RJ, and there was plenty of stuff he said that I did not care for at all, but when he went back to the cliched any given Sunday, I look at the Bucks beat the Lions. The Vikings beat the 49ers. The Raiders beat the Ravens. And the Cardinals smoke the Rams. And then last night, the Eagles lose. I know it's early and the NFL changes a lot, but these are all results that I most definitely would not have predicted.
Yeah, I blame a lot of it on lack of preseason football. I mean, I'm dead serious about this. These guys, they roll out there. There's a route. If you go watch the CeeDee Lamb, he got overthrown in the end zone. CeeDee Lamb's going one direction. Dak throws it a different direction. Yeah. They've talked about, you know, their lack of communication, the miscommunications that are going on. I still think that the entire NFL, their starters don't play, and so they take the first 3 weeks of the NFL season to kind of get ramped up and get in gear.
Well, number five on Mike Ask All the Football Questions is, how bad is football after 2 weeks?
Okay.
No practice. Like, I think this is the tough thing. I think to make definitions, strong definitions on teams and players is very tough because of what Corey just said. So obviously I'm marking that one off of, we don't need to ask it because I'm kind of throwing it out right now. My answer is, nobody tries and practice. That's why I hate going to Oxnard.
Sure.
It's just walk around. They just walk. And then we have to make all these, well, he looked really good walking today. Like, nobody's trying because they're not supposed to try. They have rules against trying. And then they decided, let's not play any preseason football. I get it. You want to have your guys as healthy as possible. So nobody tries in Oxnard. Nobody tries in preseason. You play guys that you know aren't making the team because they make you play the games because it's a moneymaker. And so it's really tough. The first, to Corey's point, 3 to 4 weeks. I remember Troy Aikman saying Bill Belichick, when he was in his prime, would say the first 4 weeks of the season is just kind of, we're just trying things out.
Mm-hmm.
And then after four.
Like, this is the actual preseason.
Yeah. After 4 weeks of NFL regular season football, we're hoping we have a good record after it. But then after 4 weeks, we feel like we're in a rhythm. We kind of have an idea of who can do what on the team, what we might be able to accomplish in that season that we have. But the first 4 weeks, they all count, but you're really watching preseason football with the games counting right now.
Yeah. I mean, just look at the passing numbers. Those being down, that's a clear. So, I mean, Dak didn't look right. And I don't know how much of that. He got all the reps. He got every practice rep you could possibly think of. And Oxnard and every rep that you can think of when he's out at the Star. But why doesn't he look? Okay. I know I'm going to get a lot of sarcastic answers on this. He doesn't look crisp at all right now, and he should be at his crispest. So, I still feel like that's one of the big deals there. And defenses look ahead of offenses right now.
Now I'm going to throw this out because from the 2-1-0, the Eagles lost! !
Jerry's right. Texting in?
Yeah, it could be.
He likes the show.
Let's go ahead and play cut two, just to hammer home part of how this went down, because there was a lot to it.
Cousins looks right, has a man! Touchdown, Drake London! And we are tied with the extra point to come.
Now, there would be an unsportsmanlike penalty for fake machine gun shooting into the air, which forced the extra point back to essentially 48 yards. The Falcons still get the extra point, and they take the 22-21 lead. They hold on. They win. So, yes, if we're breaking that news for you this morning because you went to sleep and you're like, this game is over. It was not over. And Saquon Barkley on the other side dropped a pass that would have gotten a first down, and the game would have been over.
That's why the Cowboys don't spend money in free agency. It just showed. Barkley lost the game.
Man, I would have loved that.
I was barking for Barkley yesterday, but obviously that's why. Did Zeke drop a pass that cost him the game yesterday?
They didn't even look at him.
Yeah. He did not.
They didn't even look at Zeke on those.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so is it safe to assume... Actually, I don't want to assume anything. Does anything change for you because of all the upsets the first weekend, this past weekend of the NFL season? Or are you like, hey, that's great. I don't really care about these teams. I care about the fact that the Cowboys got demolished.
I care about the Cowboys getting demolished the most right now.
Yeah.
Fixing and correcting that at the moment is because... My biggest concern with the Cowboys is not that they're going to be scrapping more than I thought they would to try and catch up to what they should be, and that they don't have the personnel to make the corrections that Mike Zimmer needs to make. I think there are a couple guys on the defensive line at certain positions.
I don't know. I heard this morning we have the right person.
No, I don't know. They could probably say, hey, it's time to retire. No, he's not. He's not, Mike.
He's already on the team?
No, he's not. It's not going to happen. But there's a lot of things that are still wrong there. I don't know if they can fix those. Jerry says he's convinced of it. Jerry says that he has full faith in what they did in the offseason to make this thing work, though. So, and I think every team has their own what is Jerry's Jell-O to handle. Where the Jell-O just kind of melts in your hands and falls apart and keeping milk on the table. Every team has their own situation that they're dealing with. I mean, right now the Niners have a lot of injuries that are building up on them. So every team's got a lot of crap they're dealing with, except for the Saints, obviously.
Side question before I've got power rankings for you. Have you ever seen somebody carry Jell-O with their hand?
No.
Jerry must.
I've tried to pick it up before. I mean, because you got you scoop it up in your hand and then you like the claw real quick. It doesn't last that long. It's going to melt.
Now, at this time of the season, power rankings, I think, are actually really fun because they can be wildly different. Do you guys want to go with ESPN, CBS, or NFL.com?
The NFL only covers the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
I feel like last week Kevin told me.
If you never want me to cheat, go to CBS because it says I have a code on here that won't allow me to see CBSSports.com.
What?
That is true.
I remember that.
Carter, can you come in here and save this computer for me?
Last week, Kevin told me that NFL.com might have the Cowboys ranked the lowest, and then it turned out they were ranked the highest. So I will go with NFL.com.
That's a spicy decision right there.
Oh, no.
All right. Let's start with the worst teams in all of football. Who are the three? The Panthers are dead last on NFL.com.
This should be very easy. The Giants.
The Giants are next to dead last.
Not the Patriots.
By the way, the Panthers are 32nd in all three of these. The Giants are 31st in all three of these. And the Denver Broncos are number 30 in all three of these.
Talk.
Thanks, Mike. Kevin, hold on. This is going to be stupid, Mike. Kevin, remember last week I said how the ranking should work is any team that has 1-0 should be at the top and 0-1 should be at the bottom?
Yeah, Mike, what do you think about
that? The Ravens. They're 0-2.
Okay, the Ravens are significantly higher than that.
They're an 0-2 team, Kevin.
But Corey's...
But then you wouldn't do power rankings. You would just do record rankings.
Yes, exactly.
All right, then
we already
another,
ranked the records. That's what matters.
Another
we just
team,
have to fart around and do powers.
Bears or Broncos? Bears or Broncos?
The Broncos are 30th on all these lists.
Okay.
Hey, What about your Bo Nix thing that you said?
That's the Broncos.
Before the season started.
It's not working out right now.
Are you like, this is bad?
It's looking bad.
Can I tell you?
All the rookies except, I mean, even Jaden Daniels still doesn't look completely comfortable
yet. It goes to like, should you, I mean, it worked for CJ Stroud. It's worked a few times, but it's like, should you start rookies in the first like 4 weeks of the season?
You know what I think about that as well? What you were talking about with training camp. I feel like we kind of saw some Bo Nix's Rougned Odor training camp in the preseason where you're like, oh, man, he looks really good. And just these first two games, like he has looked historically dreadful. I'll circle back around to that later. Awful.
But you're just like, just block guys. No scheme. Like, how do you block this person? Who cares? Just try your best. We'll tell you how to block in week one.
Yeah.
You know, like there's just, hey, go sack the quarterback. Well, how do I work against this offensive tackle? We don't care. We're not teaching you this offensive tackle. Just figure it out and see what happens.
Who do you guys think is at the top of the heap?
It's got to be the Chiefs.
Heck yeah, man.
What did they do to lose it? They were already there.
Right. World champs.
Yeah.
Back to back.
Hold on.
And then they win again.
Let me ask you this.
They just know how to win. They did it with,
what did they do to
lose the spot?
It.
They've played two of their kind of competitors to knock them out of
the
AFC.
A combined 0-4.
Because they beat them.
They won by a toe.
Yeah, because they beat them.
Yep. And then a field goal. Yeah, and then they also lost to the Raiders and the Patriots.
By the way, the Bengals are one of the worst, like, two-week teams. Joe Burrow, like, I don't know what it is with him and that team. But aren't they horrible?
I
feel like we've done this now for 3 or 4 years. The Cowboys beat them. Was it 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And we're like, this is going to be really tough. Or was it last year? It was
then they're like, we're fine.
Yeah.
They beat them with a Cooper.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For Rush that 1 year.
Yeah. Bengals.
By the way, you guys are correct. The Chiefs are number one on all of these.
Damn right.
I have to admit, I do not think that's as much of a slam dunk. Like I said, they won by a toe and a 52-yard field goal against two teams that are still winning.
Who would you put above them?
He's a Steelers fan.
No, not this. Ew. The Steelers offense, hell, I would put Alec out there at quarterback, and I think it would be about the same.
Who would you put above the Chiefs right now?
I wonder if you put the Buffalo Bills at
I'll listen to that.
Because the Bills beat the Cardinals, who then beat the crap out of the Rams, and then the Bills throttled the Dolphins. I just wonder.
And Josh Allen really didn't even have to like be Josh Allen against the Miami Dolphins.
All right, who's number two on y'all's list?
I would say Houston.
Oh, that's a pretty good one. Well, you just said Buffalo, and that was kind of where I am surprised that they're this good. I thought that they would struggle this year.
Houston's number three. Buffalo's number four. So you guys are like right there.
San Francisco made the Super Bowl.
The Vikings. It's got to be the Vikings.
Oh, the Minnesota Vikings number 15 on the list.
Who's number two?
I'm very sorry, because from the 763, the Vikings should be in the top 10. Where are the Vikings? I didn't make this list.
Who's number two? Tell me who number two is after you just told me what you said about the Vikings.
The Lions.
San Francisco.
Oh, are they number two?
Whatever, dude.
It almost feels like
I said they're
covering the NFL.
Well, I mean, I get if you're basing it off of just two games, they shouldn't be number two. If you're basing it off of still what you think they're going to be in 2024,
yeah,
I get it.
Okay, but just to show how wildly different these are. So I was going off of NFL.com because that's what you guys asked for. It goes Chiefs 1, 49ers 2, then Texans, then Bills, then Lions. All right. ESPN, the 49ers are third. In CBS, the 49ers are eighth. And okay. The Vikings are
like,
fifth.
I feel like that's appropriate. Hold on. In CBS is where the Saints.
The Saints.
Because I feel like
should be top 10.
Are six.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. That's fair.
And they probably started off not top 15, right?
Were probably down
the
20s.
They moved up from 19 to 6 this
week.
Oh, just this week.
So they probably were like 23 or 24.
So they rocketed up. So then the question becomes, where would you put the Cowboys?
Out of the top 10.
They are out of the top 10 in every single power ranking. Well, these three power rankings.
But not too far.
Number 11.
11's a good number.
Yeah, because of Micah Parsons. He's a big time guy.
That's his number, Kevin, Micah if you didn't know.
No, I understand. I was just thinking, do we bring up the thing from his podcast where he's like, I don't really feel like my level of play changed too much from week one to week two. But anyways, the Dallas Cowboys are in fact number 11 on the NFL.com power rankings. ESPN, number 14, and CBS, number 13. So they're all kind of in that same, like, and doesn't that kind of feel like the way a lot of us think the season's going to go? Hey, you'll make the playoffs, probably, but you're on that fringy playoff cusp.
You don't feel like they're one of the most dynamic teams out there. You just feel like they're good enough to do some things.
No, I'm definitely with you.
Is this true?
That.
Joe Burrow's 1-9 in his first 10 games of the season in the last 5 years?
I'm telling you, it's horrible. You want to play the Bengals the first 2 weeks. They are horrible.
That is a very
And then they get better, and then it's just a matter of does Burrow stay healthy the rest of the way? If he does, they end up making the playoffs. Yes. If he doesn't, they don't make the playoffs. But you might as well just start off 0-2 and start week 3 if you're the Bengals.
And yes, Baseball Jesus on the Twitch said, are we power ranking the power rankings right now? Absolutely,
That's
we are.
Right. We'll bring you QB power rankings tomorrow. Coming up next, though, it's time for Mike to ask all the football questions.
I am.
Okay, thank God.
Yeah, I have them.
It's the Bengals and the Chiefs. Why would you think it would be anything different than this? A 51-yarder officially to try to win it by Butker. 25-23 Cincinnati. Placement is down. Butker's kick. Leg through. It is high enough, and it is good!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time for Mike to ask all the football questions.
Do you know why Harrison Buckner made that field goal?
It's Butker.
Because he was able to relax so much because his wife did all the work around the house.
That is the exact right answer.
Oh, my God.
How'd you know? He knows.
Dude.
Yeah.
Women. Am I right?
Yep. What? All right. First question after that question. You got it right. You got the answer. You didn't have the answer.
I was not going to give that answer. Is correct.
Okay. So you guys agree.
I was not going to give that answer.
Okay. Who's the worst 2-0 team in the NFL?
It's the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I will hear nothing else about this. All right. Here's the deal.
I don't know, man.
That's fine. You can have your own opinion. Nobody's going to change my mind that the Pittsburgh Steelers absolutely suck. I'm a huge Steelers fan.
No, I know.
They are 2-0. And you would think, like, oh, their defense is badass and everything like that because they've only given up 16 points. The two quarterbacks they've played are Kirk Cousins, which people thought he was broken and he might not be healed just yet, and Bo Nix, who we've talked about, has been historically bad to start his rookie season. That is the worst 2-0 team.
But, Kevin, on the other side of that, how many points have they scored? The lowest amount of all the 2-0 teams at 31 points.
Yeah.
That is, and that's like, I think they were at 48 with all the other ones. It's pretty significantly terrible.
Haven't they scored one touchdown?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Justin Fields, this is great for Justin Fields, though. He's like, I'm a winner, baby. Look at that. Look at the Bears over there. They're struggling. I'm winning.
They're 2-0 and they scored one touchdown in two games.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Steel curtain.
Hey, what wins championships? Defense and strong quarterback play.
All right.
They'll get that by the end of the year, I bet.
What 0-2 team are you confident will make the playoffs?
I think I might have changed my answer because of the fan text.
You were going to say Baltimore, weren't you?
I was thinking about it, but I want you to look at that Baltimore schedule. Is there a shot they could start 0-5?
Yeah. Wait, don't they play the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on. Are you suggesting that the Cowboys won't get up this week?
I'm going to go with the Bengals just because, like.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Jeez. Cowboys, Bills, and Bengals next. Hey, I mean, That's time for the Bengals.
To shut up, Mike. That game's going to be awesome. We're going to have two Cowboys-Ravens ticket giveaways tomorrow in the 10 o'clock hour and the noon o'clock hour.
You get to see a two-time MVP and a guy who finished second in MVP voting.
Good point.
If you didn't know, Dak finished second in MVP voting last year. The Cowboys haven't promoted that enough, so I want to make sure to do it.
No, they definitely have. So I'm going to go with the Bengals just because we historically know how poorly Joe Burrow starts off. I'm going to go Bengals.
Okay.
I'll stick with Baltimore. They score points. Their defense has let them down a number of times already this year, though. So they got to, and I think they'll fix that.
Will you change your mind if the Cowboys beat them this week?
Nah. They'll be an 0-3 team, and I'll be like, that was a tough schedule to start the season for them.
Okay.
I will.
Except for the Raiders game. Like,
I'll
that was stupid.
Done.
If they win, if Baltimore wins, will you change your mind and say Baltimore's still going to make the playoffs?
I don't think so. Just because that, the beginning of their schedule is brutal.
On your face, Lamar Jackson. All right.
I still like Lamar Jackson.
Question number three or two, whatever. When will Bryce Young be the starting quarterback again for the Carolina Panthers? Now that he got benched yesterday on our show.
Yep.
They're listening to me talk about his height, and they're hoping he grows. They're hoping his growth plates are still open. They gave him a hand x-ray.
Nothing in that decision that said anything about that.
You can x-ray a person's hand, and you can see if the growth plates are still open, and I think they're hoping that there's still 2 more inches in there.
For the record, there's nothing the Panthers said that would indicate that.
That his growth plates are open or closed?
That's what they're hoping for.
All right.
I say 6 weeks.
Ooh, he's going to sit out 6 weeks?
That's right.
Okay.
4.
I get that too.
Yeah, 4 weeks. But that
I'm going to answer it once.
I heard on Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton this morning. They asked the question of, is this the owner stepping in because he's afraid that the fans might leave because they're giving up on Bryce
Young. I didn't
think
this was a good question.
You didn't?
No, because I think it's the opposite. Does anybody go and, well, thank God we benched him. Let me go get some Andy Dalton tickets right now.
But is Andy Dalton give you a better chance to win?
I don't think people care to. They already know they're going to lose.
I think the Panthers are a bad football team.
If you're a Panthers fan, wouldn't you, in a way, rather go see Bryce Young? As bad as it is, you're like,
1,000,000%.
At least there's the hope that he has a good game this week. Like Andy Dalton, like you said, you didn't like Andy Dalton here because you're like, he's probably going to win like 3 out of 7 games. I don't think he's going to do that in Carolina.
Just enough.
But
screw things up for you. The other thing, too, is I do think that there is a there's this part. Bill Parcells would say this a lot. You don't want to lose the quarterback. I mean, he might lose all confidence. That team's so bad. Their offensive line's miserable. He has no weapons to throw to. I think you might lose him completely.
I'll compare it this way. If you're a Rangers fan, and hopefully you are listening, let's just say Urania wasn't hurt.
Yes.
He's out for the year. And they're like, well, we think we have a better chance on Sunday beating Seattle. We'll start Urania and not start Leiter if that was your choice. You'd rather, as a fan, go, I want to see Leiter pitch. I know that he hasn't been perfect or great or anything.
But I want to watch
I would
him.
Rather see if Leiter can
what
figure it out.
What has he got? Yeah.
And so, okay. So now moving on, I say it's only 2 games. I say that Dalton plays 2 games, and then after 2 weeks of kind of backing up, and I think they're going to go, look, we have to get him back in there. There's sitting at this point could help him, but I don't think sitting out most of the year or a lot of the year is going to help.
Let's just say I don't think this is going to happen at all. Let's say Carolina wins those 2 games, though. Then Carolina's going to fool themselves into thinking we could do this.
For sure.
I
don't think they will.
Yeah,
look,
I mean it.
I make fun of Bryce Young a lot. He is probably their main issue, but not the only issue.
Oh, yeah.
There are a lot of issues there. Now, based off of what we heard yesterday, Bryce Young getting benched, the first quarterback to get benched in 2024. Who will be the next quarterback benched in 2024?
Just based on the last 48 hours, I'm not going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say Will Levis. Because his coach said, hey, Will, what the F are you doing? And then he was asked, hey, do you regret that? And he said, not really. So I'm going to go with Will Levis.
Did you see his face when he got to that bench? Because his coach did say this, though. In the same moment, he said, what the F are you doing? He said, you're better than that.
Yeah.
So he did throw that at him. But he went to that bench, and he just looked frazzled, man. So I agree with you. The other one I would take like a wild swing on would be Bo Nix. They have Zach Wilson. and he looked pretty good in preseason too. He has a little more experience, and I think Sean Payton, if he can't get too much further into a hole here before he has to make a decision. So
both very young quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or
I don't.
Would it?
Guess who's 0-2 right now in Florida? Only produced 30 points.
Trevor Lawrence.
I don't think at $55 million they will. I have this. Let me throw this out back at you guys. I know they're 2-0. You just mentioned them. And maybe this wouldn't be a benching because he didn't win the job, but he is 2-0. Would it be Justin Fields? Let's just say they don't score a touchdown this week, and then Russell Wilson's healthy. It's weird because he's in the – well, he wasn't really the starting quarterback. He got it because of injury. So then you wouldn't be benching him.
You
could sell it to the media as Russell Wilson's healthy. He's back.
Yeah, I think it would be that as opposed to an official benching.
Okay. So you mentioned Will Levis as the next quarterback to be benched. The 2023 draft class of Young, Stroud, Richardson, Levis, and the Tennessee Volunteer quarterback.
Hendon Hooker.
He was like 36 years old when he got drafted. He was the Michael Penix of the draft.
How old is he now?
He was 25 when he got drafted, by the way.
So he's 80.
So he's 26. Let's not include him. But besides C.J. Stroud, well, I know this is super early. We're two games into year two. Will any of those guys get a second contract from their draft team?
Because my early thought is no for Young, no for Levis, no for Hooker. Richardson is really hard to predict. I say Richardson does.
Young has, that's an interesting one.
If I have to guess right now, which I do.
Richardson does?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say Richardson. But Young's interesting because, as we always say, first overall picks get a lot of leeway, and maybe they can fix it before his tenure's up, before his contract's up there. They still have 2 years before that happens.
Can I ask you guys a bonus follow-up question?
Yeah. Kevin, ask all the football questions.
This little question.
Wow.
What's more likely, Mike? You're going to love this question. C.J. Stroud makes the Hall of Fame, or Bryce Young goes down as one of the 5 worst draft picks of all time.
What's more likely? C.J. Stroud makes a Hall of Fame.
Wow. Okay.
So he's a Hall of Famer, huh? Mike Bassick right there with a hot take.
I'll hot take that because I think Bryce Young being like, you know, because there's just so like there Ryan Leaf. Yeah. You know, you go through who is the dude who liked the scissor up from
Jamarcus
LSU?
Russell.
Jamarcus Russell. Like, I mean, there's plenty of guys that will probably be Tony Mandrich. Like, I mean. Once he stopped taking steroids, his career went the wrong way. They should have kept giving him roids in Green Bay.
From the 512, speaking of Will Levis, his Parfum de Mayonnaise came in the mail the other day. It's actually pretty nice, which is kind of weird.
What?
Smell like mayo.
All right, so the Rams. Puka Nacua is out half of the season, it looks like.
Yeah.
And then Cooper Kupp, who had 17 catches in 2 games, is now hurt and I think out for a little bit. We don't know the amount of time, but probably out
potentially for 5 to 7 weeks.
Yeah. So one, are the Rams done? Because everybody thought they were a playoff contender. And then two, who in the world is Matthew Stafford throwing the ball to?
Is it going to be, I don't know, DeMarcus Robinson? I think they are done.
DeMarcus Robinson is more of their big time, you know, threat outside and everything. I don't know if he's the same kind of character there. I would keep an eye on Jordan Whittington. Would be a name that I would kind of keep an eye on. I'm not saying go put this guy on your fantasy team right now, but that would be a name. He's kind of a bigger type receiver, not necessarily the Cooper Tup and Cup shifty kind of guy, but I'd keep an eye on him maybe. Maybe Atwell? Tutu Atwell,
yeah.
One of those options too. He could be that guy.
So the Rams do have their first round pick. I look this up. Would this be in a weird way, would this be best for
great
them
year
that
for it.
Stafford is at the end of his career? He won the Super Bowl. Last year, he was better than a lot of people thought after the year before. Would it be unbelievable for them and their coach is if somehow, some way, these wide receivers' injuries led them to like a 4-13 season, and then they were easily able
to get Quinn Ewers?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, probably not Quinn Ewers, but
wow.
But I was just thinking of the Rams could have this adjustment where, like, Stafford under contract one more year, I think.
Yeah. Well, you might still be able to get back.
Yeah, so you're like, Stafford's coming back one more year, and then the first round pick takes over for Stafford. So it could work out well for the Rams. My last football question, and this is where I really don't understand football in, like, their war for baseball. It is their QBR and their QB rating system. I'm going to go to Brock Purdy. I had more questions off of Brock Purdy, but we're running out of time here. His rating against Minnesota, 101.3. His QBR, 46.5. Those are huge differences. And people say, well, it's a different rating and the different scale. I get that. I understand. But then I go to the Jets game where his rating was 89.9 and his QBR was 82.5. They're so close. How
that
can,
is super confusing.
I don't get... I don't like war is different from baseball or baseball reference. And why am I drawing a blank on the other website? But they're very little difference on war. But there is a difference because it's a different. How are these so different in the same game?
That's a great question. I'd always thought that QBR was developed by ESPN because they really hated the old school out of 158.7, 158.3 rating. And so, but that's surprising to hear in one game it was like 80-something and 80-something.
Yeah, I just, it confuses me on trying to look at that and go, oh, this one's better, because I think some people like ones differently, and I get it, because some people like the war on baseball. I follow Baseball Reference just when I'm looking at war, but you can go to another one, and they'd say, well, this is the one that I like better because defense is valued more or not valued as much, whatever. Yeah. But... the Brock Purdy thing, because I wanted to look at him because I watched some of that game, not much, but I did watch some of it, and I like him. But he kind of makes me, I think, is there a little bit more in there? I know he was the last pick.
Like, I think there's more.
He's one of these guys where they didn't consider him a top 10 quarterback after making the NFC Championship game in year one, making the Super Bowl in game two, and people aren't giving him any respect. So I'm like, I want to watch him because I really like watching him play. And then I go to rating and I'm like, well, one of them thinks he stinks at football and the other one thinks he's pretty darn good at football. And which one is it?
It's a good question. Yeah,
I know. Let's answer more football questions. No. It's time.
I mean, you have that option.
It is time.
Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets, or maybe Mike will ask another football question in there, too.
Never say never. The magic number's still at 3.
It'll never happen.
The 1-2 offering. Swing and a miss. He chased a high fastball at 99. That's the hardest pitch that DeGrom has thrown yet. He picks up his first punch out.
Can't see Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan right now. Time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bacek.
All right, so I'm going to ask you guys another question, but it is going to be a baseball question.
Okay.
What are you looking most to the rest of the season? It can be Rangers, it can be Major League Baseball. My question is there anything that's interesting to you these final 12 games for most teams this year?
Lighter, rocker, and 50-50. Those are the things that have my attention right now.
Rocker, DeGrom, and more Wyatt Langford, just how he finishes the season up.
Yeah, mine's 50-50 for the first one, because I click on box scores, and I'm like, how did the Dodgers score 9 runs on 4 hits? Was there a grand slam? I was like, is there a grand slam hit by Ohtani? It's really weird. I'm not like a huge Ohtani fan. I don't dislike him at all, but it's... but I'm like, I really want him to get to 50-50.
Yeah.
And what's weird is this. If he doesn't, he's just going to be a 40-40 guy. Because we don't care. Is it weird that we don't... like, if he goes 49-49, right now he has 47 homers and 48 stolen bases. Yeah. I think he's going to get to 50 bags pretty easily. With about 12 games to go, he will get 2 stolen bases. He gets to first base quite a bit. But I'm just like, we don't care about 45-45. Like, it won't be a new club unless he gets to 50-50.
You're right.
There will be no... even Acuna, I know it was 40-70, and we do say 40-70, but we still look at it as more of like a 40-40 guy because he didn't get... if you'd have got 50, we'd say he's a 50-50 guy.
Yeah.
So you have to get to that number because, you know, it would be really cool if they just had... if we really represented prime numbers more... Uh-huh. Isn't 49 a prime number?
49 is not a prime
47.
Number.
47.
Yes.
We're at the big prime number.
Do you know why 49 is not a prime number?
Oh, great. Is there a joke here, or no, is there just
that's a math question.
7, right?
There you go. Yeah. Look at you.
7 times 7 is 49.
Boom.
The next prime number is 53?
Wouldn't be 51?
Is that 3 times 17?
Son of a gun, you're right. Man, Mike, you just schooled me. You're right.
So, yeah, so prime number. He's hit a big prime number, but we don't care about prime numbers. Maybe we should care more about prime numbers.
Are there other avenues in life you think we should care more about prime numbers besides just baseball statistics?
You really going to ask him this?
I don't know.
You know, Mike.
That's a bad question.
You really
I would like to withdraw my question, right. So, Mr. Majors.
50-50 is definitely what I'm looking forward to the most. Don't worry. I'll get to Rangers talk here real quick. I do want to give this to Corey Majors. He's texted me this morning, and we were following this on the road. The other thing that I was following is, just so you guys know, I'm way ahead of the game on everything. All of a sudden, you know whose cards are going up a lot, but he just ended his 22-game hitting streak. Yeah, Lawrence Butler. Mm-hmm. Everybody started following Lawrence Butler. Well, his 22-game hitting streak has come to an end. That happened over the weekend when, by the way, watch out, the White Sox won 2 games over the weekend. So they're at 35 wins.
What do they have to get to? I guess I am a little bit intrigued by that.
I don't want them to get to 40, but I'm like, there's no way. They're not going to win 4 out of their last 12 games, are they? They'd be going 4-8. That'd be their best 12-game stretch of the year.
Yeah.
And honestly, if you include the last two, I think they won either Friday, Sunday, or Saturday, Sunday. But this is from Luis Arraez. He is Tony Gwynn, except everybody hates Tony Gwynn now. Not Tony Gwynn, the dead one, but like the game Tony Gwynn now. Padres infielder Luis Arraez struck out last night for the first time since August 10th, batting .397 during the 141 plate appearance streak. It was the longest streak in 20 years, dating back to Juan Pierre's 147 plate appearance streak in 2004. Wow. It is amazing to me how much general managers hate Tony Gwynn. Because if I just change his name to Tony Gwynn or Wade Boggs, nobody wants Tony Gwynn or Wade Boggs on their team.
Nope.
And it's stupid.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense because, let's just face it, he's probably not going to be on the Padres much longer either. And like, well, hell, he doesn't hit 25 home runs. We hate him. And it just, how many guys do you wish on the Rangers would hit .397 in a month? Let's just give it. It's a little over a month. But in a month, they hit .397. And you're like, well, what was his slugging on it?
Yeah.
And if you're like, well, his slugging during it was .470. Like, don't want him. He's worthless.
You get 3 singles, Kevin, in a row. That could be 3 base runners for your cleanup hitter, or it could be a run already with 2 guys on, or it could be 2 runners scored with 1 guy somewhere or at first.
Have you had an in-depth, I'm sure, conversation with Jared about this? Is he with you on this? I'm curious.
But I do think this, the turnaround of the offense of the Seattle Mariners, because being there, we were asking a bunch of questions, is based off Edgar Martinez teaching how to hit 1990 style baseball. So now they're averaging the most runs. I can't remember what date it is. It's like since August something or other, right?
When he got hired?
Yeah, he got hired, right? Okay. They fired Scott Servais, I believe. They hired Dan Wilson. Dan Wilson then said, hey, we're bringing Edgar Martinez in to teach these guys
August
how
23rd.
To hit. August 23rd. They're the best offense in baseball since August 23rd.
Wow.
At least in the American League. Yeah. Maybe National League, somebody's doing better like the Dodgers or something like that. But what changed? So we're asking, like, we get it, Edgar Martinez, Hall of Fame hitter. We get it. And they're like, well, he's really working hard, especially with Julio Rodriguez, to use the whole field. Hit the ball where the ball is pitched. Why are we trying to pull an outside fastball? Why are we trying, if a slider is breaking away from you, why are we rolling over it and hoping that it gets through the ground? Or why are we trying to hit a home run on that pitch? The pitcher didn't throw you a home run pitch. I can't hit a home run if they don't throw me a home run pitch. So their philosophy has been, we're not going to strike out. We're going to make contact. We're going to put pressure on the defense. We're going to hit the ball where it's pitched.
We're going to hit it hard.
And when the ball, yeah, when they give them, hey, we're also going to hit to the count.
Yeah.
If the count is 2-0 and 3-1, guess what? You've earned the right and the ability to take a home run swing. Obviously, if they hang a breaking ball on 0-2 and you hit a home run, you hit a home run. But you didn't earn the right to get off your best swing because you got behind 0-2. Now we're going to battle. We are going to figure out, can we make the guy throw three more pitches? Even if we get out, can we make him throw three more pitches to throw five pitches in this at bat?
Exactly.
So all of these things that has been wiped out and said it's a bunch of trash and will never work against today's pitchers. Today's pitchers are just too great. They're the greatest we've ever seen ever. But then an old hitting coach, and I shouldn't say old hitting coach, an old Hall of Fame hitter comes in and says, hey, if we do these things, which worked from 1890 to 2010, if we do these things, I think it can still be successful. Yeah. And he's proven so far in a short sample size to be right. The problem is a lot of people would lose their job if this, if you actually went back to hitting. And I'm not saying it's perfect and
Because then you can't just crunch the
spreadsheet. I love the analytical numbers. I'm not saying old school is the right. I don't want to. Look, I love Jeff Fry. He's a friend of mine. I'm not Jeff Fry on this. But isn't it interesting that Edgar Martinez was hired and now they score the most runs in the American League? And, well, what did he do different? Yes, so what? Well, he said, we're going to go with the 1990s approach to hitting. We're going to see if it works against, hey, guys, throw harder. Okay, well, let's see if it works. Let's see if going the other way works. Let's see if using the whole field works. Let's see if getting ahead in the count works. Let's see if working the pitcher works. Let's see if all of these things work. And I'll be darned if it doesn't still work. So part of the reason offense has gone down, and I will go this extreme, is the new philosophy of, I want Josh Smith to hit 30 home runs. Well, Josh Smith can't hit 30 home runs. I will tell you the one way he can, pump him full of steroids and HGH.
Well, let's not do that.
Yeah, let's not do that.
And you'll get him suspended, but like, there's a way you can do it. There's a way I can have Marcus Giles hit 40 home runs. Pump him full of it. But you can't do that anymore. We have testing. So if that's the case.
Before.
There was a time.
You could do it. You're just getting away with it.
We could definitely take a little guy and make him a big hitter. But we can't do that anymore. And I just, from a Luis Arraez to Edgar Martinez, there are ways to hit. By the way, I didn't get to it. Maybe I'll get to it in Mike Likes It. But boy, watching Rocker pitch. And you get to see him Thursday. We're going to be out at the park. So I know it's a day game, it's a school day, it's a work day. I don't expect a big crowd. I don't know the tickets sold. But this will be your one time in 2024. And I will tell you, I will do it again. The way that the Seattle Mariners fans cheer for their own players, the Julio chants and the Randy chants, and the, if you don't give Kamar Rocker a standing ovation when he takes the mound, what are we doing? Why did you go to the game? Why are you going to the game Thursday? Kamar Rocker is making his Rangers debut at home. When Josh Young came back from injury, we thought there were people producing the game that thought people would cheer for Josh Young coming back to the Rangers in 2024 after his. Nobody cheered. Like, literally, you could have said, I was coming up to the plate. And they'd be like, I don't know, whatever.
A lot of cheers.
Let's, Ranger fans. And then Friday night, you have Jacob deGrom making his one and only start in 2024. Whatever you think of the contract and all, man, he's come back. And you know what? If you have any chance of making the playoffs next year, I would think it's somewhat based off Jacob deGrom becoming a Cy Young candidate again for you next year. Why not show him so much love that he's like, I got to do this, man. I know he's already working really hard, but what if Kamar Rocker and Jacob deGrom and the rest of the Rangers said, whoa, what changed in Texas? Well, it was Mike Bassick on the radio talking
about
this.
Yeah.
Is why not standing ovation these guys? Why not if they have an inning in the first inning where they don't give up any runs, you stand back up for 30 seconds of your life and cheer for these guys having a good first inning just to make them feel like, man, we might have some really good fans here that I really want to pitch for, because, man, do they cheer for me when I do well.
For the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, we'll talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo, but also, no one cares about your fantasy football team, but today we do. Share your triumphs and disappointments with us, 877-881-1053. We'll do all of that next right here on The Fan.